You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Alex Kochkin, who returns to the show for his second visit. Since a very early age, Alex has been aware of the vastness of consciousness and has been concerned with human evolution. This has also served to develop an ongoing interest in the natural and physical sciences. Since early 1989, he has been consciously devoted to the spiritual and physical transformation of the individual, humanity, and of the earth. And that's with a specific emphasis on the process that many are referring to as ascension at this time. To find out more about his present work, you can go to www.pfcn.com. So, let's welcome Alex back to the show now. Hi, Alex. How are you? It's net, not com.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance. It's good to hear from you.
Oh, well, it's
nice
good to have
you
back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's been a lot that's been going on since we talked last, and I think one of the most prevalent memes out there is people are reporting multiple UFO sightings, and there was one in New York. People are seeing them all over the place, and that there's going to be disclosure. There's a lot of different information coming from just about everybody out there, and I thought maybe you could touch upon your thoughts on that, and then we might want to get into some other subjects. So maybe we could talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like to get too distracted by some of these things, but it ties in with the bigger picture in so many ways that it is worth. It's probably a good departure point here.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a disclaimer or disclosure, I guess. Pardon the pun. I certainly am aware of other beings, and that there's two different, various different kinds, and the specifics of the who's and the what's and all of this that starts sounding like some racial profile of humans on Earth is totally irrelevant, and these are all spurious claims that different people make, and there's absolutely, you know, as far as I'm concerned, not much to substantiate. But I don't have a problem with this, so I want to make that clear that is not a question. The big problem with this is what I see is to be a deliberate as well as automatic or prepared confusion or confounding of the notions of disclosure of what are obviously, at least to me and many others, secret government relations with secret other kinds of non-human, either terrestrial-based or non-terrestrially-based entities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, again, this is not a question or a concern of mine. More the matter is the confusion and confounding that has taken place over mm-hmm. many, many years, and what a serious problem that this can result in, and why I think it's somewhat deliberate. So on one hand, there have been many people for many years very honestly and earnestly trying to deal with getting somebody to say, yes, they're real. And this isn't just made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the early period, most of the conversation. I'm not imagining things. I really did see things. There was phenomena, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, in most cases, this was met with denial, even when it found its way on the pages of Look magazine or Life magazine, when those
right.
were the major picture news magazines for the U.S. And those of us that remember the advent of all of this can recall the the stories and pictures of something over the White House and Capitol grounds back in, I forget when, 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
Real photos, black and white, you know, emulsion film, you know, the whole nine yards, and the Betty and Barney Hill stories and all of this stuff.
Right, right.
Now, so when many people initially were just trying to prove the point that they weren't crazy, and they were doing an early version of a Fox Mulder on the X-Files, that was very convenient to keep the momentum of that particular set of memes going all along. And then later, fast forward into more recent period, you have the various people addressing the strangeness of abduction phenomena. And so, and then even there, it would always be confused. Is this really something non-human and alien from this world, or was this
a military operation?
Yeah, some secret shadow government stuff, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, or a combination of both.
Well, exactly, and this is where it, where there's a little bit of truth and there's a bit of falsehoods, and after all, no one can sort it out. And so today, what we have is a confounding and a confluence of both a little bit of momentum from the early days, which has been deliberately encouraged, I believe, by those who have an interest in encouraging this, and I'm referring to those that are have an interest in manipulating society as opposed to, you know, the honest researchers who are trying to make their case. So we have a mixture of an interest in disclosure, in trying to get various people who have genuine, solid credentials. I don't mean the flakes who are writing books these days, but I mean people who are really there's no question about their background. So there have been efforts to try to get people who are retired or even currently employed by various technology companies or military, et cetera, to speak about these things, to at least state what they know and to provide public acknowledgement. And just that one effort alone always struck me as rather odd, especially since most people who are fairly attuned to these things know that making an intellectual argument, especially on something that has very little tangibility, is not going to convince anyone one way or the other. And for those rare people you could convince that it's really true, there will be as many who will suddenly go, oh, I don't know, and become skeptical. So the result is no serious gain. What has really built up public awareness and acknowledgement has simply been the influence of TV, movies, Hollywood, and to some extent, a little bit of those people saying that this is true, and you know they can read about UFOs and history and contemporary, since there have been many books written about various secret sorts of things from Roswell forward. So we have a question as to why was that really so important. Now we have because who is to be convinced, and what is to come of such an effort? And when you consider the amount of work and effort needed to organize any kind of a public venue, that public venue will be denied by those who are in a position of influence and control. And the subject of the extraterrestrial or, let's just say, non-human influences in this world, whether they be terrestrially based or elsewhere, is such a sensitive and very delicate subject that touches on the whole nature of the power structures here. That just like it was, that you might as well just watch the X-Files episodes and you'll be just as well informed. Because they actually did a very good job of it in many respects.
Yeah, definitely.
So I raise this as a point so that, you know, a lot of people think, well, you have to have secret knowledge. You have to have clairvoyant remote viewing abilities. And the point is that there is enough information that if people take a moment and just look calmly and dispassionately at the very words and meaning, which I know is harder and harder these days for people to do, enough questions can be raised by at least somebody who has their critical faculties reasonably intact, that they can wonder what's the truth of the matter. So now we have a combination or confluence here of both the efforts to disclose something that is, at least from my concerns, pointless to even make an effort at. Those who know and those who believe know and they believe. End of the discussion. So now you have to wonder what's going on, because then there's the question about extraterrestrial contact. And now you're touching on something that goes way back to ancient times and touches on one of the biggest mystery secrets that's been concealed for ages, and that is the influences and presence and contact of non-human, non-terrestrial beings on this planet for a very, 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 very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all from Mars or Moon or anything, place very local.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Even that becomes a confusing matter for many people. So then you have to consider what has gone into many of the religious and spiritual belief systems.
Mm.
And we don't have the time to go into
no.
this, but
no.
There is enough good information written in English by some researchers who have actually done their own research as opposed to rehashing everyone else's work to actually highlight the likelihood and the evidence in what there is of various kinds of non-terrestrial, non-human beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from my perspective, what brings things into the present is the potential influence of these ideas in terms of preparing humans for the idea of a Messiah, a second coming,
mm-hmm.
A new landing of more beings.
Yeah.
We're coming back for you. And this even confuses many indigenous people, who, those that are not part of those cultures don't know the difference. They think just because so-and-so, who obviously is an old and wrinkled member and venerated of a certain tribe in a certain part of the world, says it's true, it must be that they're full of spiritual wisdom. And for all anyone knows, they really have got it a little mixed up themselves. And perhaps what they're referring to is actually some of their their early ancestors, and
yeah.
they're not really referring to all humans. Even that gets confused.
Yeah.
And I know this firsthand from a number of sources. And so, I think the big question is, what is all this about? And then when we look at there's a question of disclosing something that is essentially common knowledge amongst all those people who acknowledge that, yeah, we're not alone. Yeah, probably been here. Yeah, I've actually seen weird stuff, or maybe I've had contact or know someone. We even included that in our national study several years ago. So what we have here is something else, and that is not about the disclosure that there's been involvement and connections. The question really has to do with what's the relationship and what are the agendas?
Mm.
And as far as I'm concerned, those kinds of entities that have been buzzing in and out of here or hanging out in secret bases, whether they be operating in 3D or in some slightly higher dimensional type of space,
mm-hmm.
Are not what I would call the good guys, and it's a bit
right.
like you'd warn the children, don't take candy from strangers and don't get into strangers' cars.
Right, right.
But most people presume, and this is part of, you know, the heritage of many of the techno-intellectual, you know, circles of modern, you know, from the 20th century,
yeah.
and that is, oh, well, if you are more advanced technologically, and you can travel vast distances or do magical stuff, therefore you must be more developed and therefore
yeah.
more evolved, and therefore you must have a higher ethos.
Right.
And, of course, when you
yeah.
overlay the huge influence that various very dark entities have had in creating what we now call today the New Age tendencies, starting back 100 years with Theosophy,
mm-hmm.
And many other, by the way, tendencies that have other kinds of names to this day, it was to prepare people for the potential and possibility of coming under the direct control and more overt control of other kinds of entities.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
meanwhile, all along, there have been invisibles. And they've been hinted at by many different types of seers and analysts. Both, and I'm speaking now both of those with higher than ordinary seeing abilities, as well
right.
as those who have simply been very clever at being researchers. and very clear-headed about these things. And they've been referred to from thousands of years ago as an, you know, as an invisible kind of influence on humans, as well as more recently by those that have been investigating certain aspects of the abduction phenomena. So really the question is, what is all this about? And I have to look at what I consider to be the unfortunate naive and confusion in certain circles that presume all ETs or most ETs, you know, must be good guys and they're here to rescue us, et cetera, and look at the bigger picture, the bigger patterns, and that being humans are being prepared for an alien threat. And that is the overall meme that's been promoted year after year in the past 10 years. 20 years, you know. And for all of the ones that purport to be sort of good guys, the vast majority have a less than altruistic agenda. And that is what people have been prepared for. And the big question is, to me, is to whether, you know, perhaps even next year, such a thing may come into the, you know, open and overt public attention or not. And I think that depends a great deal on what takes place over the coming months.
And doesn't it seem to you, from what you've been observing, that regardless of whether it's from the Mayan calendar or, you know, the sun moving here or there, or we're moving into the photon belt, that the energies and the space that we are in seems to be either compressing, or we are moving faster towards some kind of event horizon that, or maybe many event horizons that could pop at any moment. I mean, there's so many different things that are going on the planet, and I don't want to get sidetracked on that, because I want to relate it to the idea that we're in a period when it's possible that we might be able to ride this tide and ascend to a higher, to somehow move out of this collective dissonance and the darkness that has prevailed since the beginning of time into some kind of higher new reality.
Well, I think the first thing is that it's important for people to really take a look at what's most important to them. And, you know, there's an expression that that comes out of some of the earlier theosophically oriented work, and I've used it myself, and of course I no longer do, and we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. And the fact is that, while it seemed very clever turn of phrase, I believe is a falsehood itself. And there's a great deal of confusion around the notion of ascension. But I wanted to just conclude the notes about this whole extraterrestrial business, because I feel that it is a major distraction, and it touches upon many, many different things, including those of all of these rumored whispers, fearsome beings of all kinds, invisible reptilians, the whole nine yards, and these are all perceived and projected enemies that humans can do nothing about, even if it was indeed really all true, as described by many different people. And all it does is put people in another state of destabilization, fear, and distractions. And I think that what's important is to know who you are, what you are about. And this has a lot to do with the nature of the human being, and that maybe a long, 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 long time ago, that humans had more of an advanced animalistic nature, where there was, of course, all the things that one would associate with a body in terms of, you know, protecting itself, right, and getting by and procreating and all of those things, and that the sense was it developed a higher ethics, a social reference that goes beyond what you'd find in some more developed animal societies, beyond what you'd have of different cousins, aunties, and alphas, and what have you, all looking after the families. You know, I'm thinking of wolves and other advanced societies. And developed more of a social sense of an ethos and an individual I that was a bit more individuated, but still was closer all to, you know, an animal consciousness. And higher beings would come and go, touching in on these beings. But over time, for better or for worse, the humans developed more of a critical mass of an I, with a greater sense, even though it was heavily distorted and obfuscated, of a greater sense of awareness of something else. And, of course, there were those that penetrated some of the invisible dimensions and reported back to their fellow humans, and, you know, they became healers, teachers, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is an unusual situation today, and this has a lot to do with, as far as I'm concerned, why things have taken as long as they've taken to get to this point. And that is that we have not only a situation where there's larger being, higher self, a soul being, whatever you want to call it, associated with an individual human, most humans now. There's also individual humans from a human eye perspective who have evolved and developed more of a sense of a larger energetic integrity. And that's an important thing. So it's not a matter of this isn't working, let's go and, you know, withdraw the soul being relationship with the humans. Let's see what we can do to help what there is of individuated humans as would be experienced upon normal death to reintegrate or to perhaps retain some of their individuation. Also the larger soul beings have to be addressed as well. Some of these human beings could potentially become a nucleus for some of these larger beings, because now, due to greater awareness, many humans have come to understand a bit more of the larger scheme of things, even if it is confused at times.
Mm-hmm.
And this touches on what I'm working on a short article on this. This whole this whole problem of ascension, because it had become initially a means of escape, and in some ways wasn't much different than some of the spiritual teachings that were promoted, that I would say misinformed, and you know, these kinds of spiritual teachings we still have today. It informs people that reality is a miasm, it's an illusion, etc., etc. And on one hand, this is true. On the other hand, it's not. And the result of emphasizing the illusion of 3D human Earth experience, the result of emphasizing that without understanding the specifics or the dynamics that are at play in the entire sweep of human existence and the relationship between that level of consciousness, and higher levels of consciousness, did a tremendous disservice in preventing greater spiritual awareness to come in. And part of this also included destruction, annihilation, or denial of the ego self, and all these other kinds of teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it became a matter of transcend the physical world and whatever was promised, what you would find were by and large false, in that sense that it only put you, those rare few students or seekers. Only a rare few were able to connect to higher levels of consciousness. And of those, the vast, vast majority were fooled into thinking they had discovered a high level of God consciousness and all they had gotten to was a high level of the dark force God consciousness.
Mm, okay.
And this then raises the next question. So overall, these teachers, their teachings, whether they be religious or non-religious, it doesn't matter, basically concealed or failed for whatever reasons, and it's not important now, I don't think, but they failed to disclose the difference between a zone or a bubble or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
that we would find ourselves in human form, on the planet Earth, et cetera, in this galaxy. It would be part of what has been termed a fallen realm or a dark or a zone of creation under dark force control.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an early problem that some tendencies that people today have labeled Gnostics discovered or at least tried to convey. But even amongst those types, way back when, thousands of years ago, they had different opinions on this whole matter, and it wasn't a single unified set of teachings. So today, while I know that Gnosticism and Gnosis and all of this has become much more of interest to people who are spiritually seeking greater truth, there's a great deal that's being promoted under those labels that is not true. And some of it is actually under the dark side perspective. This is a confusing thing, but it was very interesting. It's one of the few things from a long time ago that has been able to be conveyed today, at least through some record. And this ties in also with the alien phenomena in the regard of various somewhat invisible or interdimensional dark beings that they're like an infestation, and they prey upon energy, they influence behavior, they're parasitic entities, and it interpenetrates this reality. And so this is why the whole extraterrestrial thing is of concern and interest to spiritually minded people, and it has nothing to do with whether anyone is going to disclose anything about government involvement. It's totally irrelevant. So one of the things and this influences the whole notion of ascension. Now, there were various mystery schools or initiations that were really about helping those human candidates who could make the grade, so to speak, we're talking a long time ago now, to develop a direct contact with, we'll call it the dark force creation lords, or whatever you want to refer to them. And so imagine if you were an aspiring human a long time ago, and you wanted to really know more, be more, all of that, right? Sounds like an army ed. You would perhaps be select yourself, and if you made the grade, you would be able to stay in there, and if you proved yourself in different ways, perhaps you would complete the next, you know, some enough of the initiations and certain kinds of energy practices that would provide a direct conduit between your human awareness and something that would seem to be, that was way beyond ordinary human. If you don't know any better and have nothing to compare to, it would seem as if you may have met God itself. And whether it was a name of a being that was associated with some so-called religious history or traditions or what have you, or was just something mind-blowing, whether you drank some strange things and had some weird wires plugged into your head, who knows? It really doesn't matter. There's many different modes of stimulating the energy bodies and the awareness. And the whole goal, of course, was to train people, and they'd have different ways of filtering out, you know, weak candidates. And so this sort of information survived on into recent millennia, and some rediscovered some of these things and developed meditative practices that relied more on inner technology, so to speak, as opposed to external technologies. And but it wasn't much different than trying to say, well, I wish to have, to be in this state of higher consciousness and transcendent awareness, and I don't like this world, etc. It overall was an escape. And the trouble was is that it was an escape into yet another prison. Yeah. Only it seemed to be, it was, I would say, it was decorated much more nicely, you know, more etherically. You had a bit more freedom to do certain things.
Well, but like the Matrix.
Like the Matrix movie. So you're one of the Matrix movers and shakers instead, and perhaps you can come and go in the blink of an eye, but you didn't, you were still trapped, albeit at a higher level.
Yeah, and even in that movie, the Oracle talks about when you see things like UFOs and ghosts and all that, that's a program that's running and it's out of control. I thought that was an interesting way to describe it.
It wasn't
supposed to do that. It's doing something it wasn't supposed to do.
And this lovely cookie and milk serving oracle that seemed to also be a hostess for some unusual children with unusual abilities turns out to be just part of the Matrix program, but perhaps one of the higher level game operators herself.
Yes.
And at the very end, many people thought the good guys won, that mean rooting for the humans, but they didn't realize that they did not win.
Yeah.
It was just a makeover. So, you know, there were those unusual cases where they're due to, we'll just say, weak zones in the control systems, that the higher consciousness, the higher gnosis, whatever you want to call it, that emanates from what I like to refer to as creator of all or true creation, makes its way through. And it would be very difficult to derive this kind of knowledge through inference. The people who wrote of these things, who seem to have inferred the existence of a creation system outside of this creation system that was of a different nature, I don't believe they truly inferred this. I think they tried to find a way to demonstrate this through discourse and logic to other humans to at least be open to this possibility. So it was their way of teaching and trying to explain themselves in a way that some humans who could understand them could at least comprehend and consider. But I think that the origins of this knowledge came directly. Well, I don't think anyone's ever really written about it in that way. They've always based it upon the records and what people's translations and all of this.
Well, you know, Meir Baba was one who he didn't speak. He used sign language, but he talked about this being a creation, a false creation within a creation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he goes into detail about some of that stuff, and I know you've studied others that have spoken about that as well. But we're interested in the highest possible, you know, the
Well,
the
this
absolute.
Has been a problem now. We've had how many thousands of years, hundreds of thousands, where the very existence, knowledge of the existence of a realm of creation that those of us that have a sense of this would call true creation,
right,
even existed, was concealed, hidden, every way possible, denied through all different means. And of course, the more primitive and simple humans were, the less important this was. But as you know, as different civilizations, you know, developed, this would have to be, you know.
Well, now we have cell phones and we eat McDonald's burgers.
Well, so, but the question, see, even today we have various well-known global figures who are talking about, oh, well, suffering is a requirement of human nature.
Oh,
that this
right.
is the way things always are, and that's the way it is, and you just simply have to overcome your own karma. I mean, all of these are dark force teachings.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people like to think that it's enlightening. It's not.
No.
It's most disheartening and unenlightening when you really penetrate to the truth of it. So one of the big paradigms has always been, and the biggest secret, that did this, if one can at least acknowledge the existence of a distorted creation in which there's polarization, there's conflict, there's control hierarchies, all of this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call it, you know, the fallen zone. If you can acknowledge that there are these levels that exist of that nature, whatever their purpose is now, we're not going to argue that point, but that they exist, then the question is that was that created deliberately from the highest levels of creation as a deliberate program or an impulse of some kind, and or not? Or was it the result of what some of us would call a cosmic error?
My own feeling is that it was tampering and then it was a cosmic error.
Well, you know, this is an important point because many people at an ordinary level say, well, why does God allow suffering? You know, why the innocent must suffer so, you see? I mean, these are basic things. Why was this life taken or why was it so awful? And so far, the only explanation was, oh, well, it's God's will, you know, next life or some karmic thing or what have you, or that was the lesson they wanted to have. And all of these are false. Are false notions that are meant to encourage people to accept how things are and stay within a control sphere.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, this is a basic question that was argued, debated, and literally fought over for quite a while. And that was, you know, even at the highest levels, this is still a dark side, distorted, kind of twisted version of something that's mimicking a different kind of creation, and is there something else outside of this that does not operate and does not require polarity consciousness conflict in that regard? Well, many people believe that's not the case. For whatever reason, they've come to believe that, and they've accepted that. And so what we have then are just those individuals who think, well, at best, we'll just be a good human, we'll develop good ethics, maybe we'll be good stewards on the planet, but it's still a limited state of consciousness.
They're very limited, especially when the corporations are, you know, trashing the whole planet in an almost seemingly scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
So, you know, one person taking out the garbage and recycling pales in comparison with dumping trillions of gallons of chemicals into rivers and oceans and the rest of us. So, as I see it, there's a major correction that seems to be on its way or needs to be made. And this is where you come in with the idea of something that you've called the corrective energies. And I thought maybe you might want to talk about that for a little bit.
I just wanted to just add a couple thoughts on this ascension business first.
Okay.
So initially, and for such a long time, it became an escape. And even for those people today who say, I wish to live in a higher level of existence, I wish to have expanded consciousness, etc., etc., there still is an overwhelming negative involved. In other words, it's a rejection of what you do not want.
That's right.
And the question I pose to people today is that it is very, very important. It is as if your spiritual life depends upon it. What is your primary attractor? Forget about what you don't want and you don't like. All that's good and fine, and you set that aside. Now, what is it you aspire to as a higher being? Rather than think you're a spiritual being having a human experience, consider the possibility that you are a human being having a spiritual experience. And this raises something that I believe that back when all of this New Age stuff was first concocted, it was designed ultimately to do everything possible to the last moment to prevent as many people from accessing this information and energies. And, you know, frankly, a lot of people, when they just discover the notion of a higher self, or however they encounter it, even if it's just through inspired reading, it doesn't matter. You know, people are can be imaginative, or they've had an unusual experience. It is easy for the human being to then start thinking still in separation, that they are they, and other is other, and higher self must obviously know everything, and you've got all these guides telling, you know, that, or someone will channel them and tell you what they telling you for guidance, or they're going to give you nonsense and say, well, we won't interfere, it's your own choice. Well, even that's a lie.
Right.
And so,
that's a big one.
Well, the trouble is that there's many millions of people who follow such poor guidance or notions of guidance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that alone is a fallacy. The question here then becomes one that a critical human mind can penetrate, at least as an important question. And that is, if this is not, if you do not have true free will, because after all, humans have grown up in a cultivated environment that was deliberately to deny even knowledge of true free will.
Right.
So therefore, humans cannot even be held fully responsible for all the problems that exist today. Something else has set up a game, not even told them the rules, let alone that they're in some kind of a situation.
Yeah.
And so how can people act otherwise, including making very bad and dumb decisions? It doesn't mean you're not responsible or accountable, but I mean overall, and this is another secret that the, we'll call it the dark side teachings that come through both religions and New Age and other kinds of things. It tells people that humans are responsible for all of this, and it is their fault. And I find that to be a terrible falsehood. I mean, I've been an advocate on part of humans, you know, to give humans every possible opportunity and all the breathing room necessary, you know, to get to a slightly more evolved stage to make more of a transition, to make it at least to the threshold of the bridge, if not partway over the bridge themselves, if possible, and not pull the plug prematurely. You know, I mean, this has been a very important question because for so long, from the very, very higher levels, there was barely any idea that there was a serious problem here in the human Earth situation. And this is another secret that has never been disclosed. And likewise, you know, so if there is not information and knowledge moving back and forth between...
Isn't it because of the density?
Yes, I mean, this has a lot to do with it. I mean, when this is an unusual situation in creation, this is not just an ordinary problem of an infestation of the dark through the use of higher level consciousness as well as through the use of various extraterrestrial, semi-organic, and inorganic control forms and other things like that. This is a serious thing because this particular dot, this zone, was to have been a place that potentially would be like a womb of creation.
Yes.
I mean, to me, when people talk about what's the Holy Grail, that's the Grail.
Yeah.
I mean, then, and that, in other words, it's the template. I don't mean the implementation. It's the template of the notion of sentient human biology that is a bridge between matter-level consciousness and density and a higher levels. And that this was to be one of a relatively rare number of gardens, so to speak, to use the garden metaphor.
Right.
And I'm not speaking about Gardens of Eden. That's a whole different scene.
Right, right.
But I'm just saying, since I'm a mad gardener myself, that this was to be one of those sorts of places in the larger creation that potentially could give birth to new creator beings. In order to do that, there had to be the completing of knowledge, experience, and we're talking spiritual wisdom now, that comes from having intimate experience at all the possible levels of creation, right down to 3D density and the kinds of things that are needed to maintain coherency of what we call matter, which is another subject that pertains to the changes today. I mean, this is a complicated thing to touch on in the next 10 minutes, but, you know, I mean, I'm going to try to skate around this as fast as I can, but this is, I mean, this is how complex the problem was. And so when you mention the term density, think about it just in terms of denseness, in terms of perhaps obscuring vision of what was going on here. And let's just say that something that we refer to as the dark happens upon this and looks at it and goes, wow, what an opportunity. Because their holy grail has been to seek their own form of ascension, since they're limited by their own inherent limitations. You know, their own, you know, I can't get into that right now because short on time. But, you know, so imagine that would be the case, and that was, a veritable, unlimited cornucopia of possibilities. And it has, and this is why also the dark side has a long-term perspective. And this is handed down all the way down to different levels, right down to embodiments of dark beings, that they have a very long-term perspective. We're not talking generations. We're talking eons and millennia. So the potential to skip ahead an awful lot of things I just need to right now quickly, and that is that the humans now are at a point where there are some of the human awareness potentially could develop into a new type of spiritual being. Some human awarenesses could become the nucleus of the missing piece that all these high self soul beings have been missing for so long. Think about it. If you are a high-level being, multiple level, just like a big person, many energy centers, many levels, and you have some sense that it's kind of dangerous, you just send a probe in, a little splinter, an aspect of yourself, to test the waters. It's putting your toe in the water. And if it doesn't work, you withdraw it. After a while, you do enough of the toe in the water, and pretty soon some nasty stuff from the water might get into your system, which happened. Okay, but I mean, just as an analogy, think about it like that. It's a very close one. So as a result of the quick in and out toe in the water, so many of these larger beings or soul beings did not learn much of anything, are essentially clueless as to what's going on here. So in effect, their own evolutionary potential is incomplete. And that was one of the major attractors for the human vehicle in 3D on Earth, was to find a way for that completion. But at the same time, it became fraught with so much danger to their very existence by the dark forces. And so now we have a situation, and it's only occurred in recent years, where there's much greater conveyance of information and energies back and forth. And finally, the very higher levels outside this dark zone are getting the picture. I mean, it's astonishing, but, it seems like it's taken forever. But, that's from a human time perspective. From their perspective, time is not that relevant. Because they, too, have a long term. Well, and so the problem of the extensive suffering going on, this touches back on the original question. Was the original high-level creation insane and deliberately created, some means to torture itself and then tell itself, oh, this is a way to learn something about yourself? To me, this is perverse. This is self-abuse. This is not what creation is about.
It's a distortion.
But nevertheless, large numbers of humans have bought into this. But, there are those who are getting the picture. And so there's new avenues that are available. But at the same time, we're running out of time because this whole situation has to be closed down as fast as possible. And so the question becomes, how do you minimize human suffering during a transition period? How can you find some balance to assist those evolving human selves and at the same time, work on that relationship between those human selves and the larger soul beings? And that three-way relationship is a very important one, and the idea is to get the most out of all of this. The question is, what has been learned? And this is why the more people, humans, can just think to themselves, the deeper questions, how do they assess their human existence? And then consider even the totality of human existence. What has been learned? Because this is part of it, why wait until you're out of the body, into some, what, higher dimensional something, because you know what, that question's going to come up. And so deal with it now. Never mind all this other stuff of governments and conspiracies and nuclear wars and all that stuff, because from the ordinary human level, there is absolutely nothing ordinary human level humans can do to change whatever the powers that be are going to do.
Right, but
this is
on
a very
hand,
radical different perspective than the vast majority of people who are talking about this.
Yes, and
this is,
on the
this
other
is
hand,
not self-defeating. This really addresses, once you can get to that point, the possible solutions become more evident.
Yeah, I was just thinking in relation to what you just said that many people like Daniel Brinkley and others who have had near-death experiences have encouraged people to go through the life review prior to, daily if possible, but, you know, definitely before they cross over into the next realms because they're not ready for it and they're afraid of it.
Stephen and Andre Levine did this project where they were available for a solid year 24/7 to help people who were in, you know, life-death transition.
Uh-huh.
And out of this came their later work of, what if you only had 1 year to live? There were
right.
no more third, fourth, fifth opinions. What would you do? How would you live? What is this? How does this affect your consciousness? Because that's really what it's all about.
Is
the state of your consciousness as a spiritual being?
Yes. Yes.
And just the mere thought of human being versus spiritual being is a falsehood. It's a polarity consciousness notion.
Right,
it needs to be deleted.
Right.
You are a being.
Right.
What are you called to? What is your attractor?
Right.
Not what you're repelled by. We pretty much agree on that list.
Because what we're repelled by is often what is perceived to be outside ourselves. And when you're looking for a primary attractor, that tends to be, I would think, the motivations that are bubble up from within one's essence.
Yeah.
And even Jay Widener came out with a film on near-death experiences, and it was kind of an experiment for him to subvert the powers that be, because if people aren't afraid of death and they realize that there's a continuation, then they lose the fear that is being projected constantly through all the different media and through the electronics and various other things that they're doing.
I used to think that. But I'm not so sure about this. Here's what triggered it. One of my news, checking my morning coffee, which I enjoy my cup in the morning, there's a little notion that some Rome Italian film festival awarded their top prize for a movie. I don't care whether it was a black comedy or satire. It was about suicide, promoting suicide.
Oh, dear.
So I thought, what is going on with this? So on one hand, you think about some of the early teachings that said, now,
mm-hmm.
if you're passing through the following dimensions and the portals, look out for those buggers over there and don't look them in the eye because they'll, it's like one of these fairy tale stories. So it's one thing for people to say, yes, I'm aware that something continues beyond ordinary death. But unless you've been there, and had the experience, and I feel that the model of a near-death experience is a very important one because the result is, real-life humans coming back, walking around, and they're kind of a living testimony to something on the other side.
Absolutely.
And it becomes tangible to some people, and of course, people who've had it. And I don't want to go into the gradations in their death experiences because many of them were exposed to a false light, but the point is that it did expand people's consciousness, at
right.
least, even if they were not exposed to, the higher levels. And that was very significant, and it's very important, but at the same time, it's not about, I'm not afraid of dying. It has to do with, again, what is your prime attractor? Because if the possibility exists for your awareness to maintain a certain integrity completely independent of having a physical body.
Hmm.
And this is also why some of the out-of-body experience literature has some value, too, as at least an example for people. That however that is constructed, it's unique to each, of course. Light body, point of consciousness, who knows? But you can retain that sense of individuation. That's the important point. And depending on who you are and your experiences and your awareness and the strength of the energetics and all of this, that's the basis for the possibility of humans forming a nucleus for either a new kind of spiritual being, one connected to higher levels of creation, or as a nucleus for the soul being that's basically missing part of itself.
Mm.
How's that to chew on? to me, that's a very interesting situation, and one is not better or higher than the other. And this bears then directly upon the sort of choices humans who are more aware and more conscious are now becoming exposed to in terms of options, regardless of what occurs on this planet, short of the dissolution of 3D.
Well, right, of course.
Well, now, that's still a notion that has not been taken off the table, by the way.
Well, that's good. Since we're coming so close to the end, I wanted you to be able to, you know, just kind of wrap up everything into one final statement. But I'm thinking that it's probably better for you to give out your websites and forum locations and share with people where they can find out more and how they can delve into this. In other words, we're doing oriented, and I think most of us want to know, well, what can we actually accomplish and what is the right way to go? I mean, what is the most productive way to go during these times which seem to be so tumultuous and dark? So,
the PFCN.net website has got a whole section of articles and publications, you know, and people can download them. And at some point, we'll make a text version available. It's a lot of trouble. So that's all there, free for the asking, and, you know, just wait for your download speed. And the New Earth Summit forums actually has a nice little keyword search engine, and there's an enormous amount of commentary there that's been accumulated over, I don't know, 4 years that includes some of the stuff going on in the world as well. And many of these points that you've brought up about ETs and different interests and isms and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it's a wonderful place to delve into this with some other people who are very spiritually and aware and more conscious, who are also asking these questions and other questions. And it's not that there are answers to them, but there certainly are ways to empower ourselves to see in new ways.
I think the most important thing is to focus on finding that what is it that is an attractor, and
okay,
to find your highest personal inner common calling, your highest commonality with yourself, you know, just like it would be with a group. And stay focused on that. It's your own GPS. It's your own guidance point and satellite. You do not need to listen to what others say, whether it's channelers or the news media or anything else like that, because it's coming to your own theater.
Wonderful. Well, we've just run out of time, so
right,
that was a great way to empower everybody. And thank you again, Alex, for being on the show. It's always a delight to talk to you. And I look forward to reading your articles on PFCN.net.
Okay. You take
Thanks
care.
Again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.